Blog Talk Radio.
Melissa Ambers presents the best and hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, Gotham Talk, where we talk to entertainers, business owners, comedians, and everybody who's somebody about what they're doing right. We're bringing you the best conversations regarding business, current affairs, and how it relates to you. Buckle up. It's going to be a great show.
Hello, we're on with Gossip Talk. And we are also on with my co-host, Mary Boyce. Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Hey, Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. We have a hot topic today. And you and I have kind of talked about the church shooting and, you know, not having that safe haven. I mean, you know, you go in a church, that's one of many places that you would think you'll be able to go to just to, you know, feel safe and worship, and you have something like this happen.
Right.
So,
it's just a devastating situation. I think we both talked about when we first heard it, and I think it's going to go down in history as one of those events where everybody's going to know where they were when they first heard about it, because it's just so horrific. To think, as you said, that a Bible study of all places, every African American that realized it was a church shooting and looked at their, realized it was Wednesday, we all knew what that meant, or most people, didn't we? Didn't we know that was Bible study night?
Right.
I mean, this is a traditional thing with us, and it was just that right there let you know that there was going to be probably, you know, like an older, because the people that go to Bible, not that kids don't go, but usually there is a loyal group of people that do not miss Bible study. And
yes,
as you said, to be there, and that's the last thing that you think would happen. But we also talked about the fact that the guy who was a white, young person dressed in long, it's hot, dressed in, you know, long sleeves, shirt or sweatpants and boots, Timberland boots, probably raised suspicion within the church. But what are we taught? Don't judge.
Welcome everybody.
And we were saying there had to be that one or two people that were there that were like,
like everybody, that would say he kind of stood out some.
Like, what's up with this guy? But trying to have your Christian values, not to make him feel out of place or anything.
Right.
So.
Right.
What do you think that's going to do to the next church service anywhere? You know, is that going to make you look sideways at any stranger that comes in? You know, what are some of the things I wonder churches will start doing, or what people, church members will start doing, you know, to protect themselves? It's scary.
Right. And, for me, you know, that human nature thing, you can't help but to look. You know, oh, I ain't never seen that person before, you know. And before you know it, your eyes are on that person. When they hit the door, walking up the aisle to their seat, if they get up the wall, the eyes gonna forget. You're going to forget about everything else going on, and you're going to watch every little movement, you know,
It's like right after 9/11 when you flew for the first time. And you're like looking at everybody and wondering, you know, is this a terrorist? What does a terrorist look like, you know? And sadly, you start. It's a natural thing to profile in some situations, and it's very, very sad. So prayers out to that church family and the AME church in general and all churches, because everybody's going to be impacted by this.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so unfortunate. And then he's so young. God, he's young.
Right. When you think about something like that, you think of somebody who has just had a lot of problems with certain groups of people, but he hasn't even been on this earth long enough to have really been indoctrinated or into this kind of thing, or have a history. But then that goes back to social media, because they said they looked on. I think he was part of a website situation or chat or something, and it was just full of hatred. And when you get somebody young with an open mind and you fill his head with hate and stuff, he might not even know. He probably knows no history of what, you know, of black-white relations, only what he's been fed. And these right-wing people who are saying, "Take back America," you know, all that. You keep telling that to somebody that's, and I don't even want to give him credit enough to say he's unstable because, or mentally unstable, because I don't want him to use that as a defense. But if he is, or even if he's not, if something's wrong with somebody that would do that, and it's all kinds of people like that all over the country, you can't just keep telling them, "Take back America," and not expect them to do anything.
Right.
I agree.
And I think that, you know, that's the thing, taking back America. It all stems back, it goes back to the beginning when you realistically think about it, and to say, for them to say, "Take back America." And it shouldn't be a them versus us, and it, because really, when you look at it, truly, who does America belong to? You know,
mm-hmm.
So it bothers me when I hear that, you know, when I heard that today with him saying, he was saying, "Take back America." It wasn't yours in the first place to want to, so now you're trying to take it back. It wasn't yours in the first place.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah. Is that
That's
matter?
All I can do is pray for him. And it's going to be hard not to judge, and it's going to be hard not to have certain thoughts, but I would say pray for yourself and your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
also pray for him to try to, you know, try not to go too far into the judgments and, you know, all of that.
Yep.
I agree, Melissa, but I just, some days it's like, how long do we continue to pray for people and pray for individual, and I'm going to say individuals because I'm not going to say people, because I have friends of different ethnicities, so I'm not going to say, you know, a people, but how long do you continue to say, okay, well, we have to pray for them, we've been praying for them, and
right.
to try to be understanding in situations like this. To me, at this point, you almost begin to build a callousness in your heart, because it's like, we can't continue this. We can't continue to say, "Oh, we're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Oh, I'm going to forgive you." Yeah. No. You know?
So Renetta, what steps would you take? I mean, I'm with you that something else has to be done, but I don't even know where to start, except maybe with a serious gun control situation
that doesn't last
like 3 weeks until, you know, another news story comes along.
Right, and we're steady building, we're steady, these laws are continuously being passed with these gun laws, and, you know, they want to stand on the, "Oh, it's our Second Amendment right," or whatever, "It's our right to bear arms," and this and that. Yeah, but when you have unstable individuals out here in this world, which, you know, we have built a society of you know, gun-toting, everybody's supposed to have a gun and to defend yourself and defend our country, this and that and the other. And this has been programmed into us. So now you have unstable people being able to have access to guns. It goes back to the laws, and we've got to really get serious, not only as a community, as a society, but as a community and as the black community, and really getting involved in our political process and looking at the people who are passing these laws. It's the same way with the open carry law at the colleges and the universities now. You know, I worry now because of my daughter. When you're going to have, you know, you never know when you're going to have somebody disgruntled walk into a classroom and take everybody out because they're having a bad day. But, you know, I think that's where we have to really start organizing, sit down and organizing in our community and saying, look, we really need to watch and do our due diligence on these individuals that we're putting into these political offices. Are they really looking out for us?
Wow. Well, that is for a hot topic with some interesting thoughts and interesting conversations. And again, you know, condolences go out to the family, to the church, and it's just, you know, try not to have bad thoughts and, you know, judge everybody that walk in the door of a church. I know it's going to be hard, but, you know, we got to find a way to get through it. So, but our main topic today is working efficiently and not trying to do it all yourself. There's a lot of small businesses, startups, that, you know, start their business and, oh, I don't have the funds, I don't have the money, I can't hire a staff, and they try to do everything themselves, and then they find themselves not moving. They're constantly in that same place, but I'm spending all this time on the internet posting, doing this, doing that, but I'm not moving. So my challenge to send out to everyone is outsource. How can you become more efficient by outsourcing? Understand that outsourcing is not as expensive as you would think, and if you can't afford a small package with someone, phase out your processes and start small. Start small, build from there. And
before you jump into it too far, will you explain what outsourcing is?
Yes. Outsourcing can be a variety of different companies, so it's pretty much assigning a task out to someone else. And it can be an individual that you hire, or it could be another company, another small business. So outsource, if your business is graphic design, that's your core business. But you also have a lot of behind-the-scenes things that have to be done, building your website, of course, building your graphics, which you could do yourself. That's your business. But your posting, your social media, your blog, writing, scheduling, having someone to help you stay on task, stay on time, help you with your projects that you have from your clients. So it's finding someone to help you with all of that so you won't forget anybody, you won't get behind, at least the best you can. Try not to get behind on any project. And if you do, what are you not doing or doing to keep you, you know, running behind? So outsourcing is finding someone to help you with those things that's not your core business. So it's pretty much just getting a little help. And it's not about hiring a full staff of people. It could be just that one person to help you with scheduling, posting, blogging, writing, whatever you feel is your main thing holding you back. Start there. Start small. And then, you know, build on it.
Okay, so I'm going to use myself as an example because I'm in the process of doing just that. And the way I came to the fact that I needed to outsource is that I feel like I have a certain amount of talent that I think I would like to utilize more, but I find myself, it's like I'm spinning my wheels. You know what I mean? It's like I get opportunities and I'm not even able to fulfill all my obligations. And then I almost got into a depression because I was like, you know, I might as well forget it. I'm just going to do my main job. I have like 25 hustles and I'm like, I just can't. But I'm coming to the realization that I have to outsource. And not only do I have to outsource, I have to get to a point where I'm organized enough to outsource, because isn't that part of the process? Because you can't, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're organized enough, but there is a process to doing it because you have different types of people like me. Like I label myself as a procrastinator. And then there are some people who are like control freaks and they just can't give up, and, you know, they can't delegate enough because they're they have to be doing everything themselves.
Right. Well, me as the paperless expert, and let me explain that too before I kind of go into a little deeper. Paperless expert not necessarily meaning that, hey, Mary, I'm going to come to you, you're going to be paperless. You're not going to deal with any more papers. That's not what that means. What it is helping you to streamline your processes and help you get to a point to where you're utilizing maybe 5 to 10% paper. Is that? And of course, it depends on your business, on what you're doing, and you know, having key records and all of that. But I can pretty much guarantee you that I can get you 50% or more less, you know, using less paper than what you are today. And what that is I come in as an assistant to help you with that. So whether you're a procrastinator, you know, control freak, or you just don't know how to work with an assistant, I take people through those, you know, steps of tell me what you're doing, what's not working, how's your calendar, what online tools are you using, why you don't use them, you know, how are you working from day to day, how often do you need them? It's a list, I mean, it's on and on, of different things to go through. So as a procrastinator, you label yourself as that, is you're having that person behind you to pretty much push you. So it can be as simple as you have various projects that you need to do, and you know you could do them well, but like you say, it's that procrastination, it's the last minute, oh, shoot, let me jump up and get this done. But having that person that's behind you pushing on you, they're going to have a calendar set up for you with dates, deadlines, set up a project management tool that you can use. They're going to help you with, you know, scheduling some of your posts, your social media, you know, what opportunities, projects you have, helping you stay on task for your meetings and all of that. So it's just having that person to help push a little bit, you know. Renee, what do you think? I mean, because you're in the fashion, your line is fashion. Mary is a writer. So two separate fields completely, you know, have nothing to do with each other. What are your thoughts coming from the fashion end?
Well, I feel the same. I'm like this. I know I definitely need help as far as the organization and we just spoke with that. We were talking about that really right before the call. Just getting organized, and I feel like I'm the same way. I try to do everything, and I did that the first time around. This is kind of like my second go around, and it's like, no, you can't do everything. So I definitely feel like, you know, you've got to put it in a budget and figure out how you're going to you know, outsource that, the especially for me, the social media part aspect of it. I can't do everything. I can't do everything, you know, myself. So that's something that I know I have to work on, and even coming from my end, because it's so much to have to try to keep up with, not only having a brick and mortar, but, you know, there's also the website, you know, the website. So it's a lot.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, and this is a question for both of you. With you trying to do everything yourself, saying, okay, I'm here to make money, I'm here to build my clientele, how, if you was truly honest with yourself, and you may not really know the true answer, but if you was, you know, really look at it, how much time and money have you wasted by just doing it yourself, opposed to hiring somebody and paying them to do some of that work? How much money would you have, you know, made or increased your clients?
For me, like with my website, I built it myself. So I don't think I wasted any money building it myself. However, one of the things that I'm trying to do is not only just keep it maintained, because I work full time. So
trying to keep it maintained. I started a blog on it, you know, being able to post and do that. I can't do it. I have a so I feel like it has cost me because I'm not consistent, and that consistency is what I need to keep people, you know, hey, clicking and looking, because I checking my analytics on the website and people coming. It falls significant. It's very high when I'm constantly engaging and stay engaged for a couple of days. So yeah, it cost me financially. Now to get to say a number or whatever, I don't have that, but I know it cost me.
I agree with what you say 100% because I. The funny thing about me is I'm like a ghost writer, and so I write and blog for other people, and I have their stuff on point. But and I'm like giving advice and stuff about how often you should blog. You shouldn't be blogging at all if you're not blogging 3 times a week. And I probably posted like 4 blogs in 3 months because I just haven't had the time to do it for myself. And a shameless plug, my blog is MamaYouMentalInspirations.com. But it's behind. You know, I should be posting at least once a week. And you're right. It doesn't look professional. You know, if people go to your blog and you're still talking about, you have a post up about Christmas and it's June, you know.
Right.
You know, that doesn't look, that's not a good look. So, yeah, so just for that kind of stuff, you want, with your stuff edited correctly, you know, it's nothing worse than reading your own stuff and seeing a typo that you didn't catch because you're rushing to get other people's stuff done. So that's I know I'm missing not just monetary opportunities and business opportunities, but I'm not looking like the professional I would like to look. So I haven't even really launched my company that way yet because I know how it's supposed to look and it doesn't look like that.
Okay, so with you knowing that, how would you want to, you know, outsource some of that, or do you have the issue of I'm not sure if I want to let it go, or how do I work with an assistant? Which, you know, where do you fall with that?
Well, I mean, and to be truly transparent, I am working with you, Melissa, and I'm finding that one of the first problems is you have to just get over your pride. Well, I have to get over my pride issues because I was like, I don't even want people to know how trifling I am. But in the end, the more honest that I'm being, you know, I'm opening up more to Melissa. I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm behind with technology, all that kind of stuff. And so I just have to take baby steps, and it's a trust issue also. And the more that I spend time with you, and I'm sure that's with any assistant or anything, the you have to trust them. Like, I'm a writer, I write for other people. People have to trust me to represent them that way. You know, I'm their voice. So same with an assistant. I have to trust you, and you have to trust me, you know, and get to know me well enough to know how I operate and how my moods are and how, you know, how sometimes it's a good time, sometimes it's not a good time, and all that. And as that happens, I think you're more likely to relinquish the little bit of power that you think you have over what you're doing.
I'm actually glad that you said that because that's the exact same way a lot of businesses feel, especially when they're coming in, is, like you said, that trust issue. One, am I going to trust you with my information, you know, are you going to share it, you know, will our conversation just be between us? So, yeah, and that's something going in. Any assistant should go in understanding that and not push so much into the fence where if you just don't get down on your stuff, you know, we don't get nothing done. But on the other side of it, you have to understand that if I need this help, I need to give this person this information. And I get, you know, you hold back a little bit, and that's natural. I get that. But, you know, a lot of people, you're not the only one. A lot of small businesses go in with that same, you know, fear of the trust, you know, or are they going to be able to handle the job? You know, is it going to be worse than what it is right now? So, and, okay, Aruna, what about you?
I know mine. For me, it's not so much as trusting. Well, that's a little bit part of it, but my thing is just finding someone financially, you know. And I'm online, but it's not like I'm making googobs of money. So I don't want it to be where I'm not paying a person what they're worth for what they're doing. I think not doing it the way I want it to be done. I mean, it's one of those things that, of course, you're going to watch them with your social media, so you'll know. But I think that's it. And then also completely letting go, because, you know, I know how I want my company and my brand, my business to be represented. So, again, it is a factor almost in, hey, you know, letting go and having enough confidence to say, okay, I'm going to turn this over to someone completely and let them handle it for me. Now, the blogging, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Some days I can write, you know, when it comes to mine, and that's not a problem. But, again, with me working full-time, it's very difficult by the time I get off work, come home, you know, dealing with the business aspect of it and then trying to keep a balance between home life and business after coming home from work. So that's just it, just finding a match and finding someone that can give me what I need within my budget and, you know, all of that.
Okay. Well, like you said, finding someone within your budget and being able to work with you, being comfortable, you know, just having that person. If you were to go out and find someone, do you know how to interview that assistant to see if you would be a match for them? Or would
no,
you be in that contact? Hey, can you just hit me?
Nope.
I know I don't. Look.
So, you know, I have certain questions that I have that I know that I want to ask them. But really, the key questions, or if there's a certain amount of questions or certain questions I should be asking or standard questions, I don't have that information.
Okay.
Yeah, same with me. I'm at the point where, I know a little bit about, you know, some of the technologies out there, but I don't feel that I know enough. And even with working paperless, that sounds really good, but I'm not really sure of, like, how that process really works. Like, how do you go from how do you get to becoming paperless, and what's that process?
Well, the process will start with, one, seeing where you are as far as being comfortable with being on the computer. And it's getting you to that point. And if you are, majority of people are. And one of the tools that I use is Evernote, which is a note-taking tool. And for people like you, Mary, you write a lot, that's an excellent source for you to go to. And in that sense, going paperless would be where you're able to take your notes and go back to all of your notes, your research, checklists, recordings, pictures, anything that you want at any time. So it will be not about always being at your office or at your laptop. Anything can hit you at any moment, or you could be somewhere and someone asks you for something. You could just go to your Evernote account and look at that information or jot down some new notes. Because when you have Evernote, it's a free online tool, and I tell everybody, when you open your account, you download it on your laptop, your computer, your tablet, your iPad, your cell phone, every device that you have that you use, and be sure you're logged into the same account. That's one of the issues a lot of people do. They have Evernote but have different accounts for different, each one of their devices, which means your information will not sync. You will not be able to look at the same information on your devices. So once you do that, that's one way of going paperless. The other thing will be is if you're working on a project, instead of having the tablet and having to have, you know, three or four conference calls a week to talk with your team, update, is this document done, what's the status of this phone call, where are you at with this task, using project management tools online, Insightly, Basecamp, PayPanther. There's a variety of them out there, but those are some of the a few that I've used. And Insightly is the one I'm really in right now, but you can go in there, you can put in your project, you can add your team members as users. So as you're updating your information or you add a new project, you add those team members into that project, and it automatically sends them emails. They can go in and update it anytime. You can update it anytime. So you have that easy access to where you could go in and look at information without having to always pick up the phone to ask, you know, one or two simple questions. I'm not saying the phone calls are going to stop. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have conference calls. You definitely should, but it will cut down tremendously by doing that. So that's just a few ideas about going paperless and some of the steps to take to go paperless.
So what is the learning curve with something like that? I mean, for like the average, I mean, because I'm sure you work with people like different ages and stuff who are different, have different skill sets. I mean, some people are like totally comfortable. Like if you're under 30, maybe that's all you've done is, you know, you've always worked that way and you've always been. But if you're like me, who's way over 30, it's like, It almost sometimes it feels like just hearing about it feels overwhelming. So do you take people step by step with this, or you know, at their own speed, and you know, how do you make sure it doesn't just get overwhelming for people?
Yes, it's taking you step by step. It's taking you through the different online tools is showing you at how they really work. And what I do is when I work with my clients is I always have a page that I can show. I don't show other clients' information, but I always have something that I can show because that visual, it helps people a lot instead of just, you know, talking about click here, go there. So I use Skype, Google Hangouts, Hip Chat, something like that online to where I can share my screen. And by sharing my screen, they're watching me move around on the pages, and they actually have that visual. So when you have that visual, that tends to stick more in our brain than that conversation. It's just having that picture. Oh, I remember looking at this. I remember seeing this. And when as I'm clicking and I'm talking and showing them what they're doing, it's, oh, okay. They can see it better. And then, I mean, I still get questions. I mean, nobody's not going to get on their first round. And then I also have workshops that I do and seminars that I do to actually teach people, and then they kind of go on their own and do their own thing. But all the clients that I work with, we take it step by step. And I work with them until they're comfortable. I help them set up all of their tools for projects, Evernote, set up their notebook. So I take them through everything and help them set it up step by step.
Okay. So we kind of, Renetta, she has a good... You got to mess me up.
With that beautiful hat bun?
One of the points she talked about, and it's probably the most important thing as far as when people are thinking about doing this is how much it costs. Is it affordable? Because most people who are starting up a business, they don't have a lot of extra income or discretionary income to do some of the things they would love to do, like have an assistant. So what are some of the, I want to talk about your, how you charge people, but can you talk about some of the other options out there, like virtual assistants and all that, and the pros and cons of that?
I'm somewhat of a virtual assistant. I don't call myself a VA. VA is broad. There's a lot of them out there. But being virtual is pretty much what we're doing. And like I said, you and I have worked together. So we're doing the virtual piece of, hey, okay, let's get on HipChat, let's talk, we'll do the conference call, do the video call. That's virtual. Being able to work online with your project management tools, your note-taking tools, all of this stuff online makes you virtual. It's just making ensuring that you're using it the correct way. And you don't have 20 different items that you're using to get your project done. So it's being careful with that and not using a lot of, you know, all of that stuff that's on the internet, because it is a lot. But it is affordable. It's not what a lot of people think. That's why I say, if you have to, phase it out. If you want a consistent person, you could get somebody to say, hey, I need to have a conference call with you, teach me how to do Evernote. That could be, a $40-$50 call, depending on how long, the call is and how in-depth you want to go. So it can start somewhere around there. To say you want to have an assistant, but you can't afford to have that assistant full-time and you just want, maybe a few hours a week, it can start as low as maybe, $200-$300 a month. But you got to remember, though, if that's all that you can afford and you only need them a few hours a week, which means you're not going to get the full of them, you have to remember that and not pick up the phone every 5 minutes, hey, you're my assistant. So you have to kind of take that with, understand, okay, I'm limited. What can and can't I do? But, it could go as high as, $1,500 a month, $2,000 a month. They can offer packages. There are ways that they can work with you and offer certain things, but you're not going to get that full assistant piece that you're going to do. So what I suggest to people is, if it's not in your budget at this time and you can't afford to do it, I would say hire somebody and pay them at least, $200 a month to check in with you maybe twice a month to say, okay, can you be sure to help me try to stay on task with some things? And that can help you a little bit. It's not going to be much help because you don't have that full, time person like pushing you. But if you really want to get into it, and if you can, like they say, don't go shopping this month. We can do it after shoes, or we can do it after bag, or whatever. And, see if you can do, $200 a week instead of $200 a month. And you can get a little bit more out of that person than $200 a month. Again, you're not going to get the full-fledged of having a full-time assistant, but you can have a little bit more. And if you have a good assistant that's really honest and true about what she's doing and loves what she's doing, you're going to get a little extra out of her or him. So that's, how that works. But having that extra push. Because once you do it, everybody that I've worked with, I get that call, I'm more efficient now, or I'm able to do this. Oh, my time management has, changed drastically. I'm not buying as much ink. I'm not using all this paper anymore. So that's where your savings is going to come in, and it's going to offset by having that assistant. But the difference is when it offsets, you're going to find yourself getting more clients, which means more money because you have that time now to do it instead of spending so much time in the office doing all the paperwork.
Right. That's a good point. And another good point you made, and, I mean, I think most people have to figure this out. I mean, they have to come to it on their own at some point, but you have to be willing to make an investment. And sometimes that means sacrificing some other things, you know. And, you know, a lot of times we say I can't afford this, but, yeah, we're doing something else that's, you know, that I mean, we can afford what we want to afford a lot of times. So
yeah, that's very true. Yeah. That's very true, and that's what I said. You know, you're just going to have to figure out where you can cut so that you can be able to afford. Because I know personally, I need that social media person. I need that person, you know, posting the photos throughout the day. Not necessarily responding to all of them because I can respond, but if I have somebody else to take that off. And it's just some things now I know that, it's like, okay, I don't want to have to do this anymore, so I'm going to have to figure out how to have an assistant that can come in and take these, just the administrative tasks off my hands. That's going to free me up to do, you know, to go out more and really promote my business.
Right.
Right. Right. And I think that's really the bottom line because, like I said, I know I'm leaving money on the table out there because I have people literally waiting for me to finish projects or to start projects in some instances that I know I could probably sell or charge for, but I don't, you know, until I really get the system down, you know, I'm losing money and so that's to me that's a real tangible benefit of it. But is it something, you made a good point, Renetta. say you have an assistant that helps you with your social media. Are you thinking like, okay, this person is going to help me forever, or are we trying to get to the point where we don't need an assistant? Is this something that's just a part of what we do, or are we trying to get up to a point where we can do stuff on our own?
No, with me personally, I'm looking for somewhere to start maybe part time on an as needed basis to eventually build up to full time, because the way I want to scale my business up, with some of the things that I offer, personal shopping, personal styling, I want to be the face of that. So while I'm out styling my clients or doing this and that, you know, there's other tasks that will need to be done that I'm not going to be able to do. So I definitely know at this point, right now, like I said, just starting out, just opening up the storefront again, it'll be on an as-needed basis, but then it'll eventually lead to a full-time to manage everything from my calendar to the scheduling of the, you know, because this is not my only venture. So, yeah, I'm going to need somebody full time.
Okay. Well, Mary, can you share some of your, since we've been working together, how has it helped you in the sense of, you know, with your calendar being, you know, maintaining, adding things to your calendar with reminders to remind you to do certain things, making appointments with yourself. How has that changed some of your day-to-day tasks with just that little piece, you know, being worked on?
Well, I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine today, and she said, when I talked to you on Monday, you were watching TV, and that's like usually, like every time people call me, I'm working. And I just stopped calling it working. I say I'm creating because people felt sorry for me because they were like, you're always working, always busy. And she said, well, So I was telling her about you, and I was saying, even though I haven't even done a quarter of all that you put on the table that you could do for me, one thing that just having my calendar managed and scheduling appointments to work so that I don't feel like I have to constantly be working is already been a benefit. So I can just imagine, you know, when I really start, you know, utilizing the other tools, it'll get even better. But just I remember one of our earlier meetings, and you were just like, tell me everything that's coming up. And some things I was like hesitant to even say, because I was like, that's not a big deal. I mean, this is like a small thing. I have to go to this brunch on Saturday. You're like, tell me everything. Just get it out of your head. And it was very, very freeing. So not only like financially do I think it's a benefit, but I think emotionally it's a benefit too, because yeah. I feel like just some weight was lifted off of me. And my family thanks you for that.
Well, they're welcome. And that's kind of the start of, is you have to unload the brain cells, as I say. You know, and I've you know, other people that I've worked with, I'm like, you've got to download. Oh, no, I got in my head, I got, no, you've got to download. One, mm-hmm. I can't try to help if I don't know. If you're not mm-hmm. telling me everything, you're giving me partial and pieces, then things are going to get dropped. And if you don't download, you're not going to be able to think. You're going to miss stuff and all of that. Oh, I got it in my head. I've been doing this for years. Okay. And you know what I find out? Sometimes you got to back off. And like I tell some people, you know, until you know you're at it, nobody else can do nothing with it until you realize that. And that could be an addict from, you know, chocoholics, sodas, junk food, you know, whatever. So the addict of whatever, you realize you have an addict, and you're like, okay, let me bag off a little bit. I can push, but when you ready, then you're going to come back like, you know what? Yeah, I need to download because I can't do this. You know, because I may start you there, and then it's like, oh, I got it, and you realize you're not giving me everything. But the thing about it, I don't know it because you said, oh, that's everything. I ain't got nothing else. Okay, are you sure? Yep, that's everything. I don't have anything. Okay. We back up. And then when we back up, it's like, you know what? I need to get this out of my head. But it helps to see it. And it's not literally on paper. It's that calendar. Because when you're thinking about certain things, you're not flipping through what's happening. Oh, I know I wrote that down. So let me find that sheet of paper. Or a napkin or a piece of paper you tore off of something. You can go straight to your... Whatever you have, we leave home with our cell phones like it's our, you know, left arm. So when you grab that cell phone and you walk out the door, you can open your error note. Oh, let me read this note. Oh, yeah, okay, this is what I need to do. Or, you know what, I forgot I need to do this in addition to what I've already written down. Go right there in your error note on your cell phone, type that note in, and when you get back to your desk, laptop, wherever, you're going to bring up that note with that same information. Without having to look for that piece of paper. So, yeah, and even with your calendar, when you look at your calendar, and even though it may look full, and sometimes it's only making appointments with yourself to do certain things. And it could be the same thing with you. You know, from the fashion standpoint of, like you say, you have to go style somebody. When you're styling them, you know you got to pull together certain pieces. What are you going to take with them pieces? Are you educating them as well? So what are you going to take them? How are you going to help them keep up that fashion? Or just, okay, I'm going to go dress them for this one event. You want them to come back, so you're going to do everything that you can to ensure that they understand why these pieces go, why you shouldn't wear this type of shoe, why you shouldn't wear this necklace, these earrings, you know, whatever. So, it doesn't matter what type of business you're in. We all need that same help. It's just going about it different ways. But I haven't come across anyone yet that I wasn't able to find a solution for. It was about if they were willing to accept that solution. That's kind of where it was.
So, how many clients do you have, and how many? I mean, how did your business start? Really quick.
It started. Everybody know me, kind of call me the techie person. Here come Melissa, put up the paper. Melissa don't like paper.
Yes.
Here come Melissa. But that's just my paper. If I can help it, you know, we got to have paper sometimes. And I'm okay with that. But sometimes when it gets to be too much, Rivenetta, we've been at, you know, networking business long, and I may not say nothing all the time, but she'll look up, we look at them like that. I can't help it. Why do I know I'm not shooting people? Why are you doing this? But it started with that, and that's just me. I'm self-taught on a computer with a lot of stuff, and that's how my thing. You know, that's me, that's my thing. If, prime example, remember the event that you were going to where we were talking about business cards and handing them out? I'm like, wait a minute. What did I do? I went on, looked, and I was like, hey, we're going to use quick business cards. And we set that up. So that's kind of just my thing. And so many people, hey, I need you to help me do this, help me do this, help me do this. So, hey, why not? You know, it's one of the things, so why not do business? So, I mean, writing is your thing. Fashion is, you know, another thing. So, that's just kind of how it started, and that's where it is. And, you know, I tell everybody that technology is a wonderful thing.
I mean, and it probably is, and I mean, I know that it is, but you just have to find your comfort zone with that, and that's what I'm trying to do. But
that's not your thing. Your thing is writing and all of that, and it's me showing you tools of how to write better, as far as not, you know, using the paper and, you know, doing your business that way. But it is also making you comfortable with the tool. But at the same time, that's what you have an assistant for. To do a lot of that type of stuff for you. So that's the whole point of that. But you have to feel comfortable with it as well. So if they're not available, or if we're talking, I'm like, hey, go here or here, you know what we're talking about. We're on the same page. So that's part of, you know, streamlining your processes and getting everybody on the same page, having onboarding meetings and all of that when you bring on new team members.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So before we go, I wanted to be sure to get Renetta's information to the name of her company, and what, because I may be interested in talking to you about some personal styling, so this is a good call. So what's your company about? How long has it been around, and what's your goal?
You have some exciting news.
Okay, well, we've been around since 2010. We started in 2010 as an online boutique doing a lot of vending events. We evolved around 2012. We opened a storefront. I was in the storefront for approximately a year, and due to some personal issues, personal reasons, I should say, decided to close it after being open a year, and just went back primarily online. But now, you know, that just I'm a personable person, and I like to, with the clothes, I think it make it a more personal experience when you have a storefront. And you can actually work with your customers and your clients. So from there, one of the things I noticed that I did enjoy was the one-on-one personal styling and shopping and things like that for my custom clients. So at that point, from that sprung the fashion concierge. And the fashion concierge is in conjunction with my boutique, Hot Chic Boutique, and RW Couture, which will be opening anywhere from 6 months to a year, which is my high-end sister boutique or storefront that will be opening. But just wanted to be able to offer my clients the total shopping experience, whether they want to come into the boutique and shop, whether they want the boutique to come to them, we can also do that for them. And we will be opening officially Saturday at 6935 FM 1960 West, Suite 25, inside Salons by JC. So come see us. And our grand opening is June 27th, which is the following Saturday.
Wow. Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. www.HoutteChicBoutique.com.
What's your Facebook, Twitter,
your
social media?
Yes. Oh, I forgot. Look, I'm sorry. I am on Facebook. And again, it's Houston Hot Chic Boutique on Facebook. On Instagram, you can follow us at the Hot Chic Boutique. And we are on Twitter as HOU Hot HAUTE Chic CHIC.
Give me your Twitter again. I'm sorry.
It's HOU, capital HOU, Hot HAUTE Chic CHIC.
All right. Very good. I'll follow you.
Did you want to share anything about your business, Mary?
I am a ghostwriter, blogger, for people who don't have time or don't have the skills to have ideas, but just may not have all that it takes to either write a book or write an article or write a blog. And so I'm available for that.
Mary, excuse me for interrupting. Do you write for fashion? Do you write for boutiques?
I can probably write anything. I mean, that's what I mean. I'm very proud of that. I can write for a variety, and I do write for a variety of genres. And so, yeah, we can talk. And what about this? Not necessarily for us, necessarily, Renata. But a lot of times, what I do with some people, like we barter services, you know. So that might be something. I'm not trying to get you on the cheap or anything. But I'm just saying things like that are things to consider when you have a skill that, you know, that somebody else might have, but they do something that you can't do. So that's I just want to throw that out there. Do you agree with that, Melissa?
Yes, I heard. I mean, that's something, you know, that you could connect with offline with her, and you know, y'all could possibly discuss.
I'm just saying, is that a way that sometimes is a good way to, I was just curious about your thoughts on it, generally speaking, not necessarily about us. Is that something you ever recommend?
I don't, because simply with bartering, that's such a big can of worms, and some people take it overboard. You know, you may be giving a lot on your end, and you get, you know, probably 5% from somebody else, and you done gave 85%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an individual preference thing, and it's something that truly has to be understood and discussed with, you know, the person you wanted to do that with. So I don't recommend it or suggest it, but you know, it's an individual, you know, option if they choose.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to add to it, I think that it's not so much as bartering. I think to me, it's about, hand me what I'm worth. And I think with bartering, sometimes you can walk away. I know in the beginning I did a lot of bartering. I really did. And I found myself more times than any, I found myself on the short end of the stick. So what I have come to is I tell people I don't barter. What I will do is we can come to a happy compromise. We can look at what you have and what your, you know, just say if I'm dealing with someone with services, you know, I still want to pay you for your services. Maybe yes. We can, if I can't pay for the full, you know, if your services are $500 or whatever, if I see that, you know, that's not something that I can afford, what can you offer me for $250 to be able to, you know, so that at least I can pay you something, you know, and then we can work together. Because I think that, you know, with bartering, I can't go into certain establishments and say, hey, look, you know what? I love this dress. I love these $1,000 shoes. Let me tell you something. I got this and I can, you know what I'm saying? So I think that we have to be really careful with that. And like I said, personally, I don't do it. I just don't do it.
And that's a good point, because I was in a situation once, and I did have a barter situation with a person before, and it was from my end, it was a lot of pressure because I felt like it is hard to know whether you're providing. I felt like I was giving them a shorter end because what they were offering me was like something that was more concrete than what I was offering them, and so I never felt really good about it because I didn't. You know, you want to be, you know, have a certain amount of integrity, and you know, and so yeah. So I agree. It can be sketchy sometimes. So,
well, ladies, we're gonna have to cut it short, and that actually could be an excellent topic for another show because that can become sticky a lot of times with small businesses. Pretty much like it's just honestly trying to grow your business and put yourself on a different platform. And unfortunately, we do come across those that take advantage, or when you think, you know what, let me, you know, go into my savings, get X number of dollars, not trying to pay for this or pay for that, and that person take your money, don't give you what you paid for. And even if you have to take that person to court, you're going to be out of more money, so it's kind of not worth it, leave it alone, but you're still lost. So,
right.
That's an excellent topic to discuss, because I think
as well as knowing what you're worth, because sometimes when you're in a small business, people ask you how much, especially with women have traditionally have a hard time saying exactly how much they're worth because they don't want to highball somebody and miss an opportunity, but that's a good topic too.
That's very true because, like I said in the beginning, I did that a lot, and what I found myself was doing is people would like my stuff and I'd be like, oh, you know what, I really like this, but I just can't afford it. All I have is such and such, and I was like, well, you know what, okay, because I was trying to get my name out there. It was like, okay, well, you can negotiate. But what I found is that My product and the things that I carry, it's worth what I've priced it at. And even like now, I've gotten a lot better now, whereas I'll post something, oh, it's beautiful, how much is it? Oh, it's just, oh, I can't afford that. And it's like, well, you know, okay, well, you know what? It'll be here.
Right.
So save your money. You know, and I've learned that. I can't fall under the pressure because I know this, especially being in the fashion people, you can't walk in Nordstrom's and negotiate what you're going to pay based on what you feel like. If you want something, you'll get it. And like I said, I'm not offering you Harwin clothing. So, you know, if you want Harwin prices, then you need to go to Harwin. So I think that I've learned what my worth is and what my business is, and it's like,
You know, I had somebody to tell me that one time before. You know, my customers say that your stuff is too high. I said, then they're not my customer. You know, they're not my client.
That's great.
So,
yeah.
So I was okay. There was a time before when I wouldn't say that. I'd be like, well, what do they need or whatever? You know, and I try to negotiate. And now I'm to the point where I know what I pay and what my items are worth. And basically,
right.
I know my worth. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know what? That is our excellent topic. And we're going to discuss bartering on our next show, which is next Thursday. Same time, 6:30 p.m. Central. So I want to invite both of you back, and we're going to have some other guests on the show to discuss that, because that's a discussion I think needs to be had and to just, you know, share your point of view on it.
Okay.
So we're,
I'll be back.
We'll see you next week.
We'll be back.
Thank you
so much.
Comment on talking with us on Gossip Talk. If you want to be a guest on Gossip Talk, send us an email at gossiptalk_tx@yahoo.com. Twitter is tx_gossip. Hashtag Gossip Talk. Send us an email if you have questions or want to be a guest on the show. Talk to you later, and thank you again, ladies, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, have a good evening.
Bye.
You too.
Bye.